Les colloques du Collège de France.
I'm very happy to host today my great friend and colleague Liping Wang, who is a senior investigator at the ION, the Institute of Neuroscience in Shanghai, which he now co-directs. This is from the Chinese Academy of Sciences, so he came all the way from Shanghai. He's a great friend who spent almost 6 years in Eurospin working on comparisons of monkeys and human brains using fMRI and some behavioral tasks. We had enormous fun together, but then Liping went back to Shanghai and he did what we did not manage to do in Eurospin, which is to set up this center where he can collect hundreds, thousands of neurons in monkeys while they do incredibly complex behavioral tasks and with two photon imaging, electrophysiology, and so he's going to show us some of this beautiful data now on how the prefrontal cortex encodes information. The title of the talk is The Control of Sequence Working Memory in the Prefrontal Cortex. Liping Wang.
Thank you, Stan. I actually was a postdoc in Stan's lab. It's been 13 years. We just realized how time flies. And I saw so many old friends in this event. So thank you, Stan, for bringing us together again. I remember so many discussion with Stan when I was in Paris, basically everywhere in Eurospin, at Stan's home, sometimes with Gislain together. And sometimes on the metro back to Paris and here at College de France, so many great discussions, so many great ideas. So I want to say thank you, Stan, for this great memory, wonderful memory together. Then after I went back to Shanghai, one of the impressed question that we've been discussing, actually Stan just mentioned his 10 important question, is what is special about the human cognition? For example, the language people, a lot of speakers already talking about. During that time, even 10 years ago, 13 years ago, there was this very nice proposal, I think it's quite popular even now, that is the faculty of the language reflects a broader and a possible human specific ability to represent and acquire hierarchical combinations of abstract symbols. So I just told Stan, I stole this painting from Eurospin. Everybody from Eurospin know this painting, but I just used one piece of this painting. I think this painting is just specifically for me because my lab is using macaque monkey as animal model to study the coding, neuron coding of the sequence. So with this idea in the brain, we wanted to study how the brain is going to represent the hierarchical structure. So let me explain what is hierarchical control or hierarchical structure. I think this hierarchical structure is not only in human language, but basically in every cognitive domain. For example, if you come to any city, for example, welcome to Shanghai, I'm from Shanghai. You want to travel around the city of Shanghai, and of course, you firstly create a mental travel map to plan a sequence of tasks. For example, you want to go to a museum, then you go to Disneyland. You know, you plan this sequence 1, 2, 3, and then each of the sequence is then progressively refined into a sequence of subsequence. For example, for the task one, you somehow decompose the task one into a subtask 1, 2, 3, 4, right? So you basically use the first level of the task to guide for the second level of the subtask, and you can keep doing that. This is exactly what Stan just mentioned. You can recursively use the same structure, and you create this hierarchical structure. And then very difficult question is how we can use the first level of a structure to control the second level and all the way control the next level to create this mental map in the brain. So I think I already mentioned the question, This paradigm that I call the sequence of sequence paradigm has been in the lab for so many years, but no, I couldn't convince any student to do the task because our object is to train a monkey to learn a sequence of sequence task. All the students said, well, that's impossible. So nobody wanted to try. So as I already said, how does the brain is going to represent this hierarchical structure at single neuron level? So today I want to share you one project in the macaque prefrontal cortex. We did a single neuron recording and it trained a monkey to learn a sequence-to-sequence task. Before I show you this very complicated sequence task, I wanted to start with a very simple one. Like we said, we wanted to decompose the complicated task into a simpler task, the first level sequence, how the brain is going to encode a very simple spatial sequence. So the task is actually very simple. I call it a spatial sequence task, or it's a very classic working memory task, or a delayed sequence reproduction task. So the basic idea is on the screen, there are six locations. Each time, one of the locations will flash, and then the length of the sequence can be 1, 2, 3, 4. And after the sample, the flash of the sequence locations, and the monkey or human subject has to memorize the sequence during the delay. And then after the delay, they have to reproduce the sequence, either use test screen or sequential circuit to reproduce the sequence in the sample period. So we give this very simple task to both human. Sometimes we give them to the preschool students, but I'm not going to talk about the comparative behavior study today. Let's just focus on the monkey's behavior. This is just a video showing the monkey can do this task. For example, we show one. Sometimes it's one dot. The monkey has to reproduce the one, and 1, 2, 3. And monkey has to remember the sequence, go 1, 2, 3, but sometimes only you have each trial, the sequence will randomize it from this one of the six locations. Okay, so monkey learned this task very well. Let's look at the behavior. Again, I'm not going to focus on the human behavior, just the monkey behavior. There's some of the phenomena of the sequence recall in the working memory in behavior I wanted to mention. First, you have the length effect. The longer of the sequence, of course, you have the lower character rate to perform the task. You have the primacy effect and the recency effect for human, but we only have the primacy effect for monkey. But I think the more important thing is the error pattern. Basically, the monkey makes two errors, of course, humans too. One type of error is called a temporal interference, or the temporal order error. That is, they always tend to confuse the neighbor order, for example, rank 2 and rank 3, comparing to rank 1 and rank 3. But the other one is called a spatial location error, or because of the item interference, they tend to choose the neighbor location to the target. So as you can see, both human and monkey share a very similar error pattern and their accuracy. So after this behavior experiment, we decided to use the macaque monkey as an animal model to study the neural mechanism. Once the monkey learned this sequence, I collaborated with Ximin Tong in PKU, and his expert was a two-photon calcium imaging in monkeys. We inject the a virus called GCAM6, help us to monitor, indirectly, to monitor the neuron activity in the dorsal lateral prefrontal cortex. By the way, today, all the neuron data from dorsal lateral prefrontal cortex. We're also recording other brain region, but let's just focus on the prefrontal cortex in this talk. With this technology, then you can monitor the neuron activity in this area. The reason we choose area is because there's so many classic studies by, for example, Goldman Rakish, Funahashi. They show a lot of single neurons here show their very nice spatial tuning in this region, not only during sample period, but also during the whole delay period. So we can monitor more than hundreds of neurons when the monkey perform this working memory task. So let's just focus on the delay period where the monkey has to memorize the sequence in this period. I want to go very quickly how we analyze the data. So if you look at the length 3 sequence, basically you have 18 variables because you have 6 locations by 3 rank. And then we do a very simple linear regression. We find two types of neuron. The first type of neuron, we call it this gain modulation neuron. As you can see, the neuron tuned the same location, for example, here, location 4, but the tuning strength was gain modulated by the rank information. That's easy to understand at a single neuron level. But we also find another type of neuron, 50% of the neuron, we call the tuning shift neuron. You can see this neuron, they tune different location across different ranks. So it's quite hard to understand why we need this type of neuron, at a single neuron level, for this encoding of memory. So we go to, until now we still don't understand, by the way. So we go to the population analysis and to did state space analysis for these 3,000 neurons, because we find 3,000 neurons are task relevant, this high dimensional space. And when they look at these 18 variables, then we can, for each rank information, we can perform a very simple PCA analysis to search for the low dimensional space to represent the neuron, the variance because of the change of the items. And indeed, we can find the 3 rank subspace for the rank 1, rank 2, rank 3, 2-dimension. Of course, you can go 3 or 4-dimension. That's no problem. And we can find this very nice ring structure, which is exactly identical to the one that we showed to the monkey on the screen. If you look at the relationship between these subspaces, you can find it there nearly orthogonal to each other. So with this analysis, of course, together with other analysis that I don't have time to show, we wanted to propose this compositional representation for the sequence during the memory. That is, this high dimensional neuron state space in memory can be decomposed into a sum of low dimensional subspace and each storing a spatial location at a given ordinal rank. All right, so with this code, first level sequence in the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, we wanted to move on to study how the brain is going to control the sequence working memory. So the first question we want to ask is, how does the brain flexibly gate given input to its associated order of control sequence? Because after all, from the sample, the dots flash one by one. How the brain knows where these dots put in this high dimensional space? This is a very similar to a question in language called variable bonding, that is, assign a particular item to a particular row. A particular row here is just a different rank subspace. So I will not talk about the second manipulation, but I think it's worth mentioning it. So the second control is how this item in the sequence can be mentally manipulated in the working memory. So, for example, I'll give you this arbitrary auditory sequence in just a little test. The sequence sounds like do, da, bu, ki. You have to put it in your memory, right? And then I ask you, please reverse the sequence in your working memory. So you have to mentally reorder the sequence. That is, even different sounds you can put, we didn't do experiments, different syllables can store in an orthogonal subspace. Then how the brain can mentally to resort the sequence, can reorder the sequence in the different subspace. That's the second control. I call it mental programming, but I'm happy, I'm not going to talk about it today, but I'm happy to discuss if we have time in this symposium. So let's just focus on the first part of the control. To study this, we train another two monkeys to learn the task. In this case, the monkey not only have to do a forward task, which is we show the sequence 1, 2, 3, they have to reproduce 1, 2, 3. That's the one I show you, all right? And then in different blocks, when we show a sequence 1, 2, 3, the monkey has to reverse the sequence to report 3, 2, 1 in this task. So I already show you the forward video. Let me show you the backward video. So in this case, I showed a monkey a 3D location, 1, 2, 3. They have to reverse the sequence to report it. Again, 1, 2, 3, and it goes 3, 2, 1. Sometimes it's just a 2 location, 1, 2, and the monkey has to go 2, 1. All right. So they perfectly understand that this sorting rules. It really doesn't matter the length of the sequence. So this project, again, to study the neural dynamics, now we change to do electrophysiology recording. This project is done by my graduate student, Jin Wen Chen, and the postdoc Zhang Chong and Hu Pei Yao. So let's look at the neurons. Before that, we wanted to test the two hypotheses here. The question is, what has been controlled in these two sorting tasks? The first model is actually very simple. That is, we call it a rotating memory model. That is, whenever information comes in, for example, the first run comes in, you put the first slot or first subspace. And when the second one comes in, the first one will be pushed, will be rotated to another slot. For example, the S1 will be pushed to here, slot 2. And when the third one comes in, the third one will keep pushing to another slot. So in this case, so the memory subspace has been controlled. You're rotating memory to achieve this control process. But there is another possibility, which is called the rotating gateways. So in this case, there is a common entry space, that is, the memory itself is fixed. For example, when the information comes in, the first one comes in, and then put in the first slot. But when the second one comes in, the S1 is fixed, it will not move at all, and the second one will put in the second slot, and the third one put in the third slot. Okay. So in this case, the control is the gateway, is not the memory itself. Let's look at it, because from the behavior, we don't know at all. What's the monkey's strategy? Let's look at single neurons. Indeed, we can find a sample neuron in the prefrontal cortex called a sensory neuron or entry neuron. This neuron show this. Let me just. This is the timeline when the first stimuli occurred, second stimuli, third stimuli, and this is the delay during the working memory. And this different color represent the different spatial locations. And you can say this neuron transiently tuned to one of the locations, which is 3 here. But it doesn't matter which rank, it's rank 1, rank 2, rank 3, they'll show the same location tuning. Just to mention that you can see the fire rate actually modulated by the rank of, here, which is important. I will talk about it later. But we also find that some of the memory neuron, this is the one example neuron, the second one, the third one. For the rank 1 information, the working memory neuron, you can see that this neuron only tuned to location 1 here, just right after the rank 1, the stimulus on the rank 1 onset. And this neuron keep firing all the way during the sample and the delay period. And the same neuron didn't show any selectivity, even the same location flash at the rank 2 and the rank 3. Okay, suggesting indeed that this neuron represents, for example, the rank 1 subspace and that this memory is not rotated. Of course, we have rank 2, we have rank 3 neurons. So from the single neuron, we can tell actually fit quite well with this rotation gateway hypothesis. At population level, indeed, we can identify 4 subspaces, one called entry subspace, the other one called rank 1, rank 2, rank 3 subspaces. You can see that during the sample period, you have this very nice entry subspace, this very nice geometric ring shape here, and rank 1, rank 2, rank 3 persistent activity during the whole delay period. So with this very simple model, we wanted to propose that each information, the item information, will sequentially enter into a common entry subspace and then route it into its associated rank subspace to achieve this control process. Then what about a backward, right? Whether we can reuse the same primitive or subspace that's, as Stan already mentioned many times, recursively. We can recursively use this the same primitive abstract representation for the backward task. The answer is yes. Even when the monkey do the forward, we can identify the subspace. Then we can do generalization test to see whether they use the same entry, the same rank, such space for the backward, of course. Then for the entry, you see that basically they share the same neural activity on this in this subspace. But for the rank one, now rank one it became like rank three because they have to reverse the whole sequence here. And the rank two, of course, is the same rank two, and the rank three here became rank one in the backward task. Okay, so I wanted to summarize this part of the study that is just to mention all these sensory and working memory neurons, they're all implemented in the same PFC population. So the composition population code in as sequence working memory support this control of sequence working memory. And the item information was precisely gated from entry subspace to the corresponding rank subspace through distinct gateways. So that's that I highlight here. Just remember that the monkey used different rules, which is either forward or backward, to switch or to change the gateways in this first level of sequence. Okay. So with these two studies in the lab, finally people wanted to address the question that I mentioned at the very beginning. So the graduate student, Shimon Fan, he decided to train a monkey to learn this, I call it a sequence of sequence task here. Then Zhao and Xing Yu joined the project. The project's been in the lab for more than six years. So I already told you monkey can do the task, for example, showing this spatial sequence, they can do forward task and the backward task. Okay. So in this sequence-to-sequence task, we train a monkey to learn the task, but they have to internally follow another sequence called the loop sequence, which is called FBB sequence. They have to keep the same chunk, FBB, FBB, all the way to get the reward. There's no external cue for the monkeys. The monkey has to internal memorize not only the spatial locations for the first level, but also the loop sequence for the second level during the whole period. So the question is actually very obvious. How the second level of loop sequence as an internal map I draw here, they have to follow forward, backward, backward, and they have to switch back, forward, backward, backward, as the internal map to guide or to control the first level, which is location sequence. Just to remind you, for each trial, the location will be changed, randomized, to have to memorize the location and the loop sequence in the brain, and to control the entry to working memory gateways. We also design a controlled experiment to disrupt this structure. By the way, there's another hierarchical structure within this task sequence because we have another, we call it a set level. That's the of trunk one, trunk two, or set one, set two. Although this is passively, because we give the monkey the one drop of water for the first set and the two drop of water for the second one and the three drop of water for the third one. The passively, they have the trunk concept, the first trunk, the second trunk, and the third trunk. To disrupt this hierarchical structure on the root level, and we train the monkey to do, in another block, train the monkey to do this called a flat control task. That is, monkey has to compete with the computer. The computer basically predicted the monkey's response based on the historical choice and also the rewards. So monkey cannot make use any regularity from their previous trials. They have to randomize trial by trial to choose either forward or backward. So here is the monkey doing the task. R means repeat, that means forward, M means mirror, means backward. Of course, monkey will not say this. This is just helping us to understand the task. So each trial is go two locations. The monkey has to either repeat the same sequence or mirror the sequence. And the trial by trial, monkey cannot, there's no external cue at all. Monkey has to mentally use the second level of sequence, which is FBB, to produce this sequence. So this is actually very difficult, even for human. You have to mentally track two level of sequence, and the first level, the location change, the trial by trial. Just to mention that if any time monkey make a mistake, they have to restart from the beginning of the trunk, which is the forward. So the reward signal, basically if there's no reward given, the monkey has to shift it back to the initial state of the task space. All right. So I will skip the first level representation because I already shown you. We can find the entry subspace, we can find the rank subspace. One thing that I wanted to mention that all these subspaces that we identify, entry, memory one, memory two subspace, they can be shared across different trials. For example, the entry here or memory subspace in forward can be shared across backward trial, and also across different sets. So basically, they recursively use the same entry and the memory subspace across all different trials and sets. The only difference is here I just mentioned is for the forward, the control is for the entry, for the first stimuli is put in the first memory, and the second stimuli put in the second memory. But in the backward, you have to switch the order. So the question is, can we find the second level of sequence in the same population of neuron in the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex? Of course, the answer is yes. Let me show you two example neurons. So this is another one example neuron. We find that it's very interesting, different. This is different colors suggest different line. You can see this neuron showing very nice selectivity to the different task before the sample, the onset of sample. This is the onset of the first stimuli, onset of the second stimuli. This is the delay. This is the response. You can see this neuron started to show this differential activity before the sample period. And there's another neuron, another type of a neuron. You can see this neuron showing no differential activity during the baseline, but during the whole delay period, they show this loose selectivity neuron that is the forward and backward showing the difference between the two tasks, the two rules. But you can see this B1 and the B2, they basically are different the task in the task space, but they share the same rule. They're all backward task. During the delay period, there's no differential activity between B1 and B2. So this is easy to understand because after all, during the delay period, there is no need to differentiate B1 and B2. The only thing you need to memorize is forward and backward. So monkeys, I think it's more economical way to encode this information. And at population level, we're trying to search at the same population, we're trying to search for the task map in the same population of the neuron. And you can see, we can find this grid-like structure, which mimic the task space showing here. And you can see this stable representation only can be found during the intertrial interval. And after the intertrial interval, these two B tasks, which is a B1, backward one, backward two task, they started to merge together, but there's no need to differentiate them. And in short, we find that this grid-like task space during the ITI, then this task space will rotate it, switch it to just the binary Lua space here. All right, so it looks like within the same PFC, we have a second level of task, you have the first level of the gateway. I think the most difficult question is how this second level task space can control the first level gateways, because they are implemented in the same PFC population. We don't have an answer. I think this is a very difficult question. And not only this interaction is bidirectional, not only this task space is going to control the gateway, but also if they make a mistake, the reward signal is going to tell the second level task space to shift back to the initial state, which is the forward task. So I don't have an answer. I'm going to just show you some of the observation we have. First, the observation is most of the rule selective neuron, this is the rule selective neuron I just showed you. You can see the neuron starting this preference of the forward task right before the onset of the stimuli. Most of the rule selective neuron, they started before the onset of the first stimuli. And more than half the rule selective neuron also show the location selectivity, which is item preference. But this item preference, of course, started right after the onset of the information, or the onset of the stimulus. So it looks like the second loose selective neuron are highly mixed with the first level location selective neuron, with the earlier firing rate for the loose selective and the later firing rate, later firing for the location selectivity. The second is hypothesis, or second observation we have, and also we wanted to make some prediction, which is we're trying to train RNM to understand the internal mechanism. Let me just make it short. I think there are two key factors for the control state, for this control of the shifted gateway. One is the connectivity between the entry and the working memory access phases, which is difficult to measure in the experiment. But I think the second one, we can make some of the test, the neuron state of the entry access phase that I show you at a single neuron level, the neuron firing rate at a different rank can be modulated by the rank information. So we want to make some of the hypotheses here. First, the gateway is reflected by the activity difference between S1 and S2 in the entry subspace. The difference should be reversed in the backward trial. Then you can tell what is forward trial, what is backward trial. They are supposed to be symmetrical. The difference between two tasks, forward and backward task, is supposed to gain control by the loose signal, which is before the onset of the stimuli. And finally, the difference should be diminished in the flat structure task. So let's come back to the single neuron that I showed you before. As you can see, indeed, for this single neuron, this is the backward task, forward task. You see, this neuron was modulated by the rank information, because you can see the tuning strength is much stronger for the first stimuli, but not for the second stimuli. This pattern is going to reverse in the backward task, which is showing this second stimuli showing very strong tuning. And this such pattern actually diminished. This is exactly the same population neuron. This neuron show a decrease of selectivity on the second level on the flat structure task. And also this difference between S1 and S2 decreased comparing to the hierarchical structure task. I think a more important thing here is we can look at the correlation between the loose signal, loose information, with this item information. So we can plot each dot suggest one neuron, and we can see this x-axis is the loose strength, which is the difference between the loose signal, which is the activity before the onset of the stimulus, and the y-axis is the tuning location strength between the two tasks. You can find this during hierarchical trials. This very nice correlation suggesting the stronger of this loose signal, we're going to modulate the difference between these two tasks in the location strength. But such correlation, we didn't see such correlation in the flat structure. Although this is a very simple observation, we wanted to propose that location could be selected from the entry to the corresponding rank subspace by controlling the entry state, neural state in the entry subspace. And at the second level loose sequence acts as the internal state to tune the game of the entry neurons. Finally, I wanted to also show you another analysis, I think, is to the functional organization in the frontal lobe, especially the anatomic distribution of those neurons. So already identify a task map with the grid-like structure, and also the task map is going to switch to the root trajectory during the delay period. Using this root signal, we can control the location of sequence, for example, the entry, memory, subspace, the information in the subspace. So what did this hierarchical structure show any anatomical distribution, anatomical organization? This was inspired by a lot of human fMRI study in the field. There's inferential theory suggests that the frontal lobe are organized around this rostral causal axis to support hierarchical cognitive control. You have the schematical control in the more anterior part of the frontal cortex. You have a contract control in the middle. Then you have sensory motor control in the more anterior posterior part of the prefrontal cortex. And then we can calculate for each single neuron, calculated their contribution to each of the subspace, and plotted the weight on this in this recording on this recording map across different recording electrodes. Indeed, we can find that at single neuron level, the ROST part of the frontal neuron are involved in a higher level hierarchical control than the causal neuron. You can see this task and the rule and the location representation. They show very nice AP axis. As a control that I didn't plot here, we also analyzed this medial and the lateral axis. There's no such gradient. All right. So I want to just to summarize this hierarchical control in sequence working memory that we designed this paradigm called sequence of sequence paradigm for monkeys, and eventually they can learn this hierarchical structure. I always have this discussion with my Stan whether monkey can learn this hierarchical structure or recursive structure. I think if you train monkey enough, they will learn. So it brings back the question, what is the uniqueness in human cognition? And we can identify this different level of subspace in this high-dimensional state space in prefrontal cortex. I'm sure other brain regions were also involved in this control process. So final summary, I show you the first level sequence, the memory relies on the compositional neuron code with separate disentangled low-dimensional subspace for each rank. Then I show you the item at each rank can be controlled into entry subspace, then be routed into a different working memory subspace. Finally, I want to show you if you add another higher level of task space will serve as an internal map to control information flow in a low level of location sequence through the game control mechanism at a different time scale. The task map is more like in the large time trial at the trial level, and the location sequence is actually within the trial level. So there were so many students actually involved, and I already mentioned some of them, the task that I introduced. Zhang He and Zheng Yanfen designed the paradigm, and the Xie Yang Hu Peiyao did the two photon. Chen Jingwen and Zhang Chong did the electrophysiology for the control, and Meng Fan, Jia Ao, Xin Yu did this hierarchical control experiment. And I have this wonderful collaborator, Min Bin, Xi Min Tang, and Xiao Jin, of course, always Stanislas Dehan, a lot of inspiration from STEM. So I'm going to stop here. Thank you for your time. Happy to take questions.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.